good stuff.
We're at the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
I've got something for you.
Come,
in this world.
Come to our Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yeah,
shows.
Actually, please come.
Mm.
Yeah, I would love you to come if you're listening to this.
Yes, if you're listening to this, I think you'd enjoy.
Is this going to go out in time though?
Yeah, I reckon.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's get it out. Come along.
Yes.
It's all I can. I wish I had more to offer in a pitch.
You know, full-throated promotion? You know, the idea of being full-throated? This is half-throated promotion right here.
I don't know. I think this is just, and I think if you listen to this podcast, you'd probably appreciate talking through promo strategies because I don't have one at all.
Okay.
I just kind of hope and then I'll do this and be like, yeah, just please come. Mm. And I wish I had something more. I wish I had a pitch line.
Yes.
To be like, come to the
an
show.
Elevator pitch.
I don't have an elevator pitch.
I feel like that's good because I've always, when I hear elevator pitch, it's like, I don't want to be pitched in an elevator.
I know.
It's like very close quarters. It's very kind of like.
And I'm thinking about other stuff.
Imagine being in an elevator and someone's like, I've got an idea for a movie.
Yeah.
You're like, please don't talk to me. I'm like stuck in here.
Yeah, because it's unwarranted like proximity, right?
Yeah.
It's like you haven't actually earned. Like if I'd organized a meeting with you to hear your pitch, absolutely, because obviously there's something in it that I respect.
Fantastic.
You. But like we're in an elevator.
And it's you're using the circumstances of me not being able to leave against me.
Mm.
It's like it will create an emotional feeling of like claustrophobia and like being trapped.
Yeah.
And then that person will associate being trapped to you.
But
they'll be like, that's the guy who ambushed me in the elevator.
But I've also I might have the meaning of elevator pitch confused because I've always thought an elevator pitch was just short enough to say in an elevator ride.
Oh, I think that's what
is it that is. Or is it it's strong enough and short enough that it makes you forget the fact that you're not liking this person because they're pitching to you in an elevator. It's so strong that you forget that they're annoying and you go, that's actually amazing.
So even better than an elevator pitch would be like a bear trap pitch. Which is
a
pitch that's so good that if someone's leg is trapped in a bear trap and they're screaming with pain and you start pitching them, they forget about the bear trap and they start wanting to make your movie.
Yeah, like an electric chair pitch.
Yeah.
Like they're the governor,
mm-hmm.
you're about to get the electric chair
and they're
like, any final words? And you're like, I've got this idea for a movie. And it's so good that they say, let the guy live, okay? We've got to get this into pre-production.
That's the kind of thing, dude. This is why I don't want to be on death row. Because if you're like on death row, it often they challenge it for years and you're just stuck in. And this is just like true of being in prison no matter what.
Yeah.
You got so much thinking time.
Oh.
But let's say you know you're going to be death row. So you've got to pick the last meal, which is a little bit whatever the last meal. I don't know. You're going to kill me. But like last words, you would just be trying to figure out like a puzzle. Mm. Like what do I say? There probably is a combination of words.
That if you could get you out of it.
Maybe.
I know where the bodies are.
What if you guess, like, so the person who's going to pull the thing, you guess their auntie's name, then you guess when they were born, their like date of birth, you guess like three other facts about them, and then you go, humdala, humdala, if you kill me right now, your whole family will be disgraced. And I clearly have powers that you can't imagine because I've guessed these things correctly. Some sort of speech like that. If you're really lucky, then you could look kind of like emotionally manipulate
you
everyone.
Think?
Maybe. Or like,
I think
or
it
is
would,
it like pitch?
I think it's a pitch.
It's
idea.
A pitch. Just be like, man, I've got a great idea for a small business and I'm only going to tell you if you don't kill
I think
me.
It's leverage. Or you've got like, is it you that's got the friend that came up with a formula?
Yes.
That's like, and he... It's a secret formula, and he makes money off this like
to assess
equation.
Risk. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start saying that, saying X equals Y over 3 minus 2, and then the
and
guy's like, shut up, man, shut
he's
up.
He's got to hope he knows.
Hang on.
High level math as well.
Hang on, he's a genius. Yeah, so you're just in your cell. That's what I mean, like working on a problem,
you could
like
do
trying
it.
To figure out.
Did you hear about the guy the other day that had the death penalty and they went, gave him final meal, final words, started the process, and he lived?
What do you mean?
Like he got
started the process.
Like
is this an injecting thing?
The injection one.
Oh,
it
no.
just didn't work on him. And now they're like, his lawyers are like, I think like there's no rule like
no.
apparently legal. They're like, I think he gets to live.
No,
now.
It's like double jeopardy. It's like we did the thing where we do the injecting. Technically, he's been executed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's still
just,
here.
He's still
so
here. So what do you
I guess
gonna...
he just rules.
Dude.
I guess he's just out in society.
From
no matter what
the article I read,
no.
That was pretty much where it ended. They were pretty much like, well, you can't kill him twice.
The law is fair's fair. We gave it a crack. So now get this dangerous criminal out on the streets because, well, he got us. That
well,
can't
no.
be the.
I think he has to stay in jail.
Yes, but
I think they're not.
Again.
Gonna kill him.
Wow.
But he had like the full he had like pancakes, fried chicken and ice cream. That was his like big final meal.
Mm.
Said goodbye to his family, they were all watching and he just got through it.
I don't agree with the final meal.
Why not?
I think it's...
Isn't it respectful?
I guess it has some sort of respect for human life. I find it to be a bit like, you know when you have to do someone a favor and let's say you're grumpy about the favor. You've been like manipulated into doing it. Let's say you didn't even offer. Let's say you're like, oh, you're going to help me move on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's not like you've asked me and I've said, yeah, I'm free and I'd love to help you, in which case I get to feel like I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
You've kind of assumed it and I've been roped in and I kind of resent how it's all happened. And then you do, on Sunday, you get me a croissant.
Okay.
You do a very small, measly favor back, which is... And then you're acting like...
Getting a croissant's pretty good for someone.
Yeah, no. Not for a whole day of moving. This is going to be a long day.
For a whole day of moving.
Whole day of moving, and I never fucking volunteered anyway, so I'm already a bit pissed off. And you give me a croissant as if now we're even, like, there's your favor back.
Yeah.
That creates... It's like, no, I don't want to accept what you're giving me, because to accept it is kind of to imply, okay, we're even now, and, like, I'm not mad. But I am mad. Because I am mad because... Move. Because you've dragged me into this whole day and I didn't volunteer for this and you've just assumed... You're disrespecting me, but I'm just assuming I'd love to do you this big favor, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like, they're going to...
What? It's like getting
They're going
executed.
To kill you.
Yeah, but
they're
going
to kill you. And then they're like, but you know what? Here's a meal. You're welcome.
Yeah, but
and it's like,
only...
no, if I choose the meal, then you're all feeling good about yourself. You're watching me eat the pancakes and you're like, we did a nice thing for him. And now you think we're even. We're not fucking even. You're killing me tomorrow.
Yeah, but
I'm mad at you. You're going to kill me.
Yeah, but they've also, and I know some people get wrongly executed.
Yep.
But a lot of the times I'd be like, well, I did kill 6 to 7 people. So that's kind of fair that I'm getting executed.
So you think the problem I have with
it's like you've still got
death penalty is that I haven't committed a horrendous crime.
Well, I think you might think of it differently.
That is a big part of it.
I think you think
like, if I'm being killed, I'm like, what? I just simply haven't done anything to deserve this.
And it's kind of just like workplace respect at that point. Do you know what I mean? It's like they're working with this person.
Mm.
They're going to kill him. Give him a final meal. It's like there's people in offices people don't like, but they get on. They put up with it.
I guess. So I know nothing about this. So I don't know if this is true. But if we look at all the people that have been executed,
yeah,
small percentage innocent. I don't know what percentage.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Let's put them aside. Let's look at the guilty people.
You've got to think most people are all guilty.
I reckon most, but yeah, I think some people have been executed and they were innocent after DNA came out and like disproved. So
it's
like that's
bad form. So there are some people.
But let's put them to the side. Of the guilty people, a percentage would be like you're saying, like, look, I did it. They got me.
Fair play.
Fair's fair. I had was on the
Lock
run for a
up.
Bit. Lock me up.
Oh, it's
Kill
worse
me.
Than that.
Oh, yes, worse than that. Well, pancakes, you know, I'd... Actually, haven't been treated with this much respect in prison before. It's nice. And like, see you later. I deserve this. Goodbye.
And maybe they've never been treated with that much respect, actually.
I guess.
Often, you know, people that get into crime have had troubled past.
Yes.
Maybe a nice meal earlier on would have solved a lot of the problems.
Yeah. Why are we waiting until the very last minute just before the people that are killed to treat them with any kind of respect?
Why don't we...
How about we just have good meals in prison? And God, I don't know, rehabilitate some of these people rather than only treating the ones nice that we're literally killing the next day.
Killing the next day,
it's like, that's a wasted effort.
Find them early. Find these problematic people early in society before they've committed the crime. Mm. Take them out to dinner, treat them nicely, and then maybe we won't have all these murders happening.
It is true. Like, if you looked at all the meals in America, for example, and then looked at the death row meal, it's probably like top 5% meals. That's a weird society where some of the best eaten guys are about to get killed by the state.
Yeah.
But my point is, I don't know what percentage of people who are guilty have that level of maturity and kind of understanding and like they're copping emotionally to what they've done.
It's hard to know.
I reckon a lot of them are either mentally unwell and so delusional or something.
Yeah.
Or just so in denial. Like, can't kind of admit to themselves that they've done it. If they've done something really, it would be very tough to fully come to terms with doing something
really
bad. But
also, I think often, it's years and years and years and years after they've been convicted and put in prison before they finally do get executed.
And so that's why you've got to, instead of...
So it's like...
Instead of analysing anything you did or like processing that, you just got to do maths in there.
Yeah, that's why you spend that up with a maths problem prison, good enough. Have a math formula ready to go or the greatest movie pitch anyone has ever heard.
Okay, you know Winnie the Pooh, and you know how he doesn't have trousers. It's the story of the trousers.
Where did the trousers go?
Winnie's trousers, exactly. The soundtrack is Who Let the Dogs Out, but it's Who Let the Trousers In, and the trousers live in a cave, and he's friends with the buttons.
So is he trying to get the trousers, or is it him trying to get the trousers back?
I'm not telling you anything more until you release me from these handcuffs and stop injecting that into my thigh.
Let's just say there's Winnie the Pooh's Trousers 1 Part 2 and Part 3, let me out.
The sequels, I swear to God, I've got ideas for sequels. They kill you twice.
Well, yeah, maybe if you miss the first time. So I was at work the other day. I've been meaning to tell you this.
Yep.
And the oldest woman alive was in the audience at the project.
You said that so matter-of-factly.
She was old. She was old. She looked old. Mm. And she asked me, she said, "Where's Tom Cashman bit?"
Oh, no way.
And she goes, "I love Tom Cashman."
Hang on. You could have just said a nice woman in the crowd instead of the oldest woman alive.
Because she was kind of quite haunting in the way she was talking. And I'd been speaking to her. She didn't really like me.
Okay.
And she had told me that. Her daughter had bought her.
Oh.
And I was like, "I've got a segment tonight," which is fun. And she's like, "Oh, yeah, I don't." She's like, "I don't like the sport one." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever, that's fine." But it was pretty funny. And then halfway through the show, I was chatting to the audience.
Yes.
And she's like, "Where's Tom Cashman been? I love Tom Cashman." And I said, he's doing a show at the Comedy Festival at the moment. You could go see it.
Yep.
I said, he's on Taskmaster. He's around.
Mm.
I said, he fills in a little bit here, but he's very busy. So, yeah, we can't get him that often.
Mm.
And she goes, "Oh, he's such a sweet man,"
yes,
which is nice. And then she said this. She goes, "He's got those big beady eyes."
Oh.
And then she said, "He looks so cute, like a deer in headlights when he's on the show."
Yes. That's exactly how I feel.
Is that how you feel?
I think so.
But it's nice to know that I don't think he's a deer in headlines.
No.
But it's nice to know that you're endearing yourself to this lady.
That is nice. And look, there's mainly compliments in there.
No, it is all compliments, but she is also 90.
Yeah.
She's not, that's her vibe of a compliment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, totally. I like that she didn't like you. That's fun. That there are people going and complaining about you to your face. I do think maybe that's part of what doing comedy is that you kind of come to terms with slowly how you're perceived by people. And I think I have realized maybe over the last few years that like me managing stress and performance and how to be on a show like that or live performance, you're trying to make it work. Try to look professional, I guess, and try to do it properly. But then you realize, part of what's good about what you're doing is that you're failing to do that.
No, no.
But it's funny. Watching you kind of handle your emotions.
So I think you've kind of gotten to where she was trying to articulate it and get to it.
Mm.
Is that I think she didn't have the words to describe your comedic persona.
I guess.
I think she probably doesn't have
the comedic persona correlates with reality also.
Yeah, but I don't think I watch you on anything and I'm like, "Oh, he's probably stressed," but I'm not like, "The stress is showing." I'm like, that's his comedic persona.
Yes.
A lot of the time. And I don't think she had the words or the back catalogue knowledge of comedy.
Mm. Oh, I don't know. I think she sounds like a real comedy fan. I think she knows
I'm trying to justify
stuff.
Her comedy.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, "I think she's the stupidest woman."
No, I just actually don't think she likes sports specifically, but the gags, I'm sure she loves. The gags. No, I think deer in headlights is her way of describing whatever your comedic persona is.
Yes, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it was. But can I say, got a big laugh from me when she told me that in the audience. I giggled away.
Oh, the deer in headlights.
I loved it. Yeah. It was a real, it really.
I mean, it is how I feel.
It warmed my heart.
It is. And it's a comedic persona for a reason.
Yeah.
She's spot on there.
That's what I mean. She's old and mystical.
Yeah. Are you sure this woman was even there and this wasn't a figment of your imagination? Sounds like the kind of thing your stress in your head would imagine. Someone
would
be
my
where is Tom Cashman?
No, but why where would my imagination be like, "I hate the sports segment"?
Because this is your negative in a monologue.
Yeah. God, and that is a real thing.
Mm.
But it's not her voice.
No.
It would be my voice.
Okay.
That saying, "I don't like the sports segment."
How is your show going?
Stand-up show.
Yes.
Good. No,
sounds like it's going swimmingly.
Well, just nothing exciting has happened to report.
Gotcha.
Like I haven't had a crazy. They've all just been very nice. Last night was tough, but nice still.
Yep.
That's kind of been it, really. Like, I don't have any, great stories.
Mm.
I know people have got stories. People are getting bashed out there on the street. There's comedians that are getting in fights.
A few comedians were hit by a meth head.
Yeah, which is early. Kind of what I would love to report back on. Like if you said, mm-hmm. how's your show going? And I'm like, mate, I'm slipping the jab a lot. You
know, yes, like, totally.
The right hand came in, but I ducked it and then got clipped with the uppercut. Like, what a report that would be. But I don't have that story.
Just telling a few jokes, getting a few laughs, and no one got physically injured.
I got physically assaulted. What about your show?
I did a show on the Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
A minute before I was on stage, a tech front of house person came back to inform me that I was going to be on in a minute's time.
1 minute's time.
Yep. And then said, by the way, there's quite a few girls out in the crowd wearing fairy wings. Are you known for fairy wings? Do you have like jokes question. About fairy wings?
You're and the fairy wing comedian.
Because then she said this. This was a quote. Because I don't think they're all together. The wings have come in dribs and drabs. And so then I find, I'm like 30 seconds before I go on, I'm grappling with the fact that there's lots of fairy wings out there. But then also having to literally say to someone, no, to my knowledge, I'm not known for fairy wings.
I don't. Were you kind of going through your back catalogue of things you've done in case fairy wings had been prominent?
I was thinking, is there any, have I ever heard of a fairy?
And what is a fairy wing exactly? Is that just that you wear them? It's like a little wing that you just wear with like backpack straps.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
That's a fairy wing?
I would put it as like a fairy costume, but just the wings. And I saw them when I was out there. There were some fairy wings.
Well, they came in drips and drabs.
Yeah, they were on the left, they were on the right, they were on the back, they were on the front.
They're probably quite evenly spaced out throughout the audience.
They were.
So you can't miss them.
Everywhere I looked, there was a fairy wing. And I was worried, because I suppose as you perform, people that I suppose your comedy resonates with are likely to come back. And slowly, what you hope happens is that your audiences reflect kind of your sense of humor and kind of what you're trying to do. And so you're a bit noting what kind of people am I attracting.
You're putting something out there and it's interesting to see that the people that it's connecting with. Mm.
And so, like, I suppose what's coming through on this episode is what I'm attracting is the oldest woman in the world. And,
yeah, so that's fun.
And girls that wear fairy wings. So it's so infantilized,
I
guess.
It is crazy. I should have mentioned the old lady was wearing fairy wings.
Should have mentioned that.
I did fairy blank godmother. My mind. Yeah.
She's the fairy godmother. And then all the other ones are her little fairy minions. I'm aware of talking this in a public setting, though, is that this is actually how I become known for fairy wings. This is
why of course.
Express frustration publicly about the idea of being known for fairy wings and how ridiculous that is. It could very well happen. But I'm pretty sure. I was worried that these are the kind of people that I find it a bit like Disney girl, a bit very infantilizing and kind of immature to be an adult wearing fairy wings.
It's
like it's almost
old.
Like a furry kind of thing.
Well, it's
but
not
like,
quite furry.
But it's very childlike. It's childlike in a very kind of way that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it sounds like you're quite upset.
Well, someone messaged me afterwards and mentioned that.
Did you mention it on stage?
No, I dare.
Did
dare
it
not
ruin your show? Were you spending a lot of time thinking about the fairy wings?
I thought about the fairy wings every 10 minutes,
yeah,
I reckon, as
normal.
I saw the fairy wings.
But and one would pop in and you're like, don't think about the fairy wings.
Don't think about the fairy wings was something I was thinking about quite a lot. And I suppose the main thought I had was just don't mention the fairy wings. I don't want to know, like,
I don't know much about
territory.
The fairy wing community, but I don't think you want to be.
Well, I was like, is this just what happens on the Gold Coast as well? Like, is this a fashion thing on the go? Is this like a new thing that the young kids are doing? They're wearing fairy wings?
That's the weird part. It does seem like the least Gold Coast fashion.
Yeah. But they're a bit kind of like Byron Bay out there. Like, there's a bit of like.
You think they're wearing fairy wings?
Fairy wings to me is a bit like crystals, a bit fairies and crystals and forest and
But I think Gold Coast is a little bit past that, maybe.
I think it was a hens. Right. Someone mentioned a hens. So that's best case scenario for me.
But drips and drabs.
I think maybe they, you know, the big group. I know, dribs and drabs, it doesn't look great, dribs and drabs. I understand that that's an argument against hens, against one group. But nevertheless,
I think
saying,
we need to call your tech to really get it full. Why would a hen come in drips and drabs?
Because they were out and some came early and
they
some didn't want to be late.
Transport.
And then, they're just, you know, some were getting drinks and, we'll see you in there. And, you know, it's general seating and they just came in dribs and drabs because some needed to go to the bathroom or whatever.
Of course.
You know, dribs and drabs doesn't mean you're not together. Like, that's a bit evidence that they're not together. But then the fairy wings is surely more evidence that they are.
Yes.
Because there's no other.
You would want to hope.
I mean, yeah.
I know you're being optimistic.
I'm being optimistic.
Otherwise, that means there's something in you.
Yeah.
That they see fairy wings. And then has to be a hens, actually. Otherwise.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't happened in Melbourne.
No. So I suppose then the other situations are, A, it's just a fashion thing that a certain subset of people near the Gold Coast or maybe in a broader place are into. And that subculture happens to be into what I do, which that's scary because I don't like the sound of a subculture where everyone's wearing fairy wings.
Mm.
Or I suppose the second one is a bit that they sometimes wear fairy wings for whatever reason. And when they were coming to my show, they're like, Tom would love it if we're going to do it tonight. Tonight's a fairy wing night.
Because
we want him to see the fairy wings and this is like
so they've
a deliberate thing.
Articulated the message to everyone. There must be a Facebook group.
Either way, I don't
Tom like, Cashman's fairies. And then
No. See, if you start saying things like that, this is how people then run with it. And then I don't like. See, I knew I shouldn't have brought this up.
No, you have to. It is so funny.
My other, I suppose, negative experience in my show in Melbourne, but it is actually positive. Two nights ago, I was performing and wasn't the like biggest crowd. It was going fine, but like you know, not my favorite night. I guess I'm not feeling on top of everything necessarily. A big fly. Comes into the piece, as far as I'm concerned.
So
I don't know, you
didn't see, the door didn't open.
No.
And then you heard the fly come down.
The fly appears near me on stage, and I see this fly. And
it's buzzing.
It's buzzing, and it's big. This is a big fly.
Yeah.
And I think
there's
first,
big flies in Melbourne, dude.
I guess maybe that's part of what's happening.
In my house, when I open up the back,
yes,
often there'll be three or four big flies. And they're bigger than like northern state flies
to the point
where I've bought, and I should have actually mentioned it. I can give it to you. I've got this it's like a tennis racket.
Oh,
that's electrocuted, and you electrocute the flies.
Oh my God, I'd love
to
have that.
And it is one of the funnest things you'll
imagine
ever do.
Doing that on
and
stage.
And they crack and they go, shh.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I borrow that?
Yeah.
Because I'm up there, and well, maybe I shouldn't do it. You wouldn't want to do it in front of people, maybe.
No, it's a bit cruel.
People,
but is the audience noticing the fly?
Well, at first, I think I just ignored the fly because you're like, look, it's a fly. I'm talking. And then the fly keeps coming back. And then generally speaking, I think if something's happening in the room, you need to address it because comedy is about
of course,
everyone being on
the
same page.
Yep, connecting with everyone.
And so I'm like, hey, how about this fly? Thanks. The fly wants to be in. I forget what I said. But I mentioned the fly.
And is he getting big laughs with the fly?
Oh, not really. A bit of something. But and I think part of it is I think deep down, I resented the fly.
Of course.
I was like, well, I wish this fly wasn't here.
Well, it's not the fly's solo show.
And the fly would...
They didn't do the registration forms.
Exactly.
Or set up the
they
marketing.
They haven't paid
or,
anything.
Like, worked on crafting. They didn't have to do the Gold Coast gig with the fairy women.
No, exactly. Although maybe the fairies would get on with the fly because they're both winged creatures. maybe they were hoping for a fly.
Maybe there's like a time disconnect here in terms of time travel and the fairy wing people are actually fans from the... future
from the fly
fly days, and that's what the wings are representing.
God, that is I'm putting that as the fourth possibility, probably the lowest in likelihood, but the second best in terms of me not being known for as a fairy as boy.
Yeah, you're a fly guy.
But so now, often when I started talking about the fly, then the fly would disappear, and then you like move on, and then halfway through a bit, the fly would come back like at an inopportune time.
Yep,
and it was a bit frustrating. Then I don't know. Yeah, during some big bits towards the end, when you kind of can't go off. Like on a little distracted rant about flies, the fly appears. Anyway, I finished the show. I'm then informed that the fly was in Ray O'Leary's show 2 hours before my show
fly?
In the same room. So the fly was in the room.
What is the fly
for
eating?
It's just like, hours.
I always wonder when they're buzzing around. I'm like, where are you getting this energy from?
I mean, you see them on shit, don't you?
And they could say they like vomit or something. And then it cases it or something, and then they eat the vomit back up or something like that.
You're worried about the fly.
Well, no, I'm just more amazed of the fly's durability.
How has it survived?
Like, if I went to two back-to-back solo shows,
I would be hungry
and exhausted.
I'd want a drink.
And this fly is not only attending, getting involved.
Yeah, totally.
Like, and buzzing. Like, I'm not flying around. I'm sitting in a seat, stationary.
So you're worried about the fly's...
No, I'm more amazed at this fly.
Energy having to watch me and
no,
Ray.
No, if anything, Tom, and I didn't want to admit this because you're like, it's like the fly was at Ray Leary's show. I'm kind of like, was it the same fly?
Yeah.
That's where I'm getting at.
There's one big fly. There's one big fly in both shows buzzing around the front. Like,
so it's the same fly.
It's not necessarily the same fly.
But there's just one. There's one fly.
It's a pretty big coincidence if there's two different flies.
Two big flies.
More things have had to happen there. One has had to leave. And another one that looks exactly the same has had to enter.
And you haven't seen any other flies?
Not
like,
down there.
Not in the dressing room? Because I know the venue.
Yep. I've never seen a fly down there either.
And I've
That would be more annoying as if now the fly is in the green room acting like it's on as well. I'm like, man, you're not part of the show. He's like chilling.
The fly's getting a drink.
Having a whiskey.
Bar.
Yeah. I'm nervous about tonight. Fridays.
Like,
usually
dude, yeah.
A lot of energy on Fridays.
It's like we got through Suicide Wednesday, okay, huh?
You're not part of it, mate. The laughs, when you're up there, they're for me, not for you.
No, but if the laughs get, if, are you getting laughs with the fly?
Sometimes.
Exactly.
I said,
it's the fly making the show better or worse.
I said, if you could tell your friends that I wouldn't hurt a fly, that'd be great. But do know that it's not for want of trying. I would like to hurt this fly.
You would like to hurt the fly.
I just can't hurt this fly.
You can't.
Because I tried to swat it a few times and missed.
So you're mid-show. A show you've prepared for years. Did you do a show last year? So this
no,
has been
no, no.
2 years,
in the making. Yep.
And you're all spending your precious day time. The people have spent lots of money on trying to swat a fly.
Badly. Some of the biggest laughs in the show.
I've had one moment dealing with a fly once I was doing a trial show, and I think I'm pretty prepared for a lot of things doing stand-up. Like, I've had glasses thrown at me, fights have broken out.
Yes.
But fly was a new one, because what I learned the hard way, and I don't know, it sounds like your fly might be bigger than the fly I dealt with. The audience wasn't really, they had no care for the pain I was having from the fly.
Sometimes you go
around
to make a reference to something that you think everyone's thinking about, but actually they can't really see it. And they're not worried about it at all.
And they
it looks
often,
like you're crazy.
Yeah, they often can't hear it. It'll be near your head, so it's buzzing, but they can't hear that.
How did you go on this? It just sabotaged the performance?
It completely, just drove it into the ground. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear it.
But that's why I'm interested in your
last night. So that was...
Did Ray give you any tips? Or he told you after?
I found out afterwards. Oh. We were just like, both had to deal with the fly. Yeah, I guess the fly loves comedy. The fly lives down there. Oh, well. Anyway... Last night, I went to the bathroom in the venue and was chatting to some comedians that were on the lineup show upstairs.
Yeah.
One of whom mentioned that they did a podcast in my room, my venue, on Sunday, and that there had been a fly there during that performance.
This is crazy.
And I was like, no way. What? The fly has been down there for days.
That's
and
what
then
I'm saying about
this
fly.
Comedian is like, tonight, the fly could still be there. Have you considered this?
No.
And I was like, no.
How long do flies live for? Do we know?
Exactly. I'm not sure. I don't know how long these big flies... Anyway, last night, performed again. 20 minutes in, the fly's back.
Fuck off.
The fly... And
20
then,
minutes in.
This time...
It's waited for you to do the heavy lifting in the show.
You spend
Work to 20 minutes to get the crowd on board. 100%. It has swanned in.
Yeah, I'm its opener. I'm opening for a fly, basically.
Oh, my God. This is disgusting.
This time, though, I had lines for the fly. I was more prepared for the fly. I was less emotionally thrown by the fly. And basically, it ended up being, I think, a bit of just like an example of growth and like an example of how perspective can change. Yeah, what emotions you bring to something can change the outcome, basically.
Because the way you're talking now, it does feel like there is a bit of warmth.
I like the fly now. I welcome the fly. Because the second time, I was just less surprised, I guess. You don't go into like panic stations, what do I do about the fly? You're like, here's the fly.
Here's the fly.
I've done, you know when you like have an argument with someone, then later that night you go through what you should have said?
Yeah.
I was doing that all last night with the fly. And then the next day, I finally have this opportunity to say everything I wanted to say to the fly.
So you just had gear.
I had a bit of gear. I was explaining the history of the fly, basically, to the
audience.
Yeah, I'm like, this fly is, you think this is just happening tonight? This fly lives here.
Yeah. And so were they
loving
the fly?
He's like Paulie Shore, is what
the fly was
someone suggested. Well, grew up in the comedy store. This fly has only ever lived in
It's a comedy fly.
It's a comedy fly.
It's a real comedy fly. Yeah. We should get its pics for the festival. What have you seen? What do you like?
He's got his own show next
year. Fly's doing Funny Town or something. Just really getting around. Well, not just in that venue, I guess.
Yeah. Well, one of
so
the best venues.
Can I just break down the timeline of the fly? It was there for a podcast, I assume, on the Sunday.
Yep.
Then started pestering you on the Tuesday.
Yes.
Took Wednesday off?
Oh, no. Pestering me on the Wednesday and then the Thursday.
Right.
What is the lifespan?
So maybe took Monday, Tuesday off, which is fair enough.
They live about 28 days.
Fuck off.
Dude, yeah.
You know how many days the comedy festival goes for?
Yeah. About that? 26?
24,
right? I've heard about the festival flu. Now it's the festival fly.
20?
It's like a fly. Getting started. I'm going to have a fly there the whole time.
Imagine how different this fly's life is than all the other flies. It's like born into the comedy festival. And it's like the world is crazy, huh? Just everyone gathers and like watches someone talk. And then I fly around, huge laugh. It's like awesome. Other flies are out there on the street in garbage.
Disgusting.
Wow, that's amazing. So what's your plan of attack for the fly going forward?
It's only occurring to me now that the fly could be back.
We don't know when the fly was born, but it's like there's just every chance it's going to be there for the whole festival.
I need to have a think about this. I feel like I could maybe even have a slide about the fly. If I take a photo of the fly, then, I mean, there's a risk. The better my material becomes about the fly. I think there's a spectrum here, like there always is.
Yeah.
If a fly comes up and you don't have much material about it, you seem kind of flabbergasted, deer in headlights, let's say. I think people are like, oh, that's a bit of a shame. He didn't rise to the occasion. He wasn't very good at improvising. There's a bit of judgment in the room. You didn't handle that very well. As you handle it better, then people are impressed. Wow, that was like an improvised moment. He didn't know that was going to happen. And he dealt with that well. Then if you don't deal with it really, really well, I think there's a risk people go, he dealt with that so well, I think he brought the fly.
Yeah.
I think he might. And that's
pathetic.
And that is pathetic.
And that's also
to bring a fly.
A rumor that could break you as a comedian. If that gets out, that he's got it. Because like.
That's why I'm not sharing. I'm not sharing so I attract more flies.
Bring the
fly. Because I've got all these great jokes about flies.
You end the festival covered in. And like you're doing your set covered. You look like one of those weird bee freaks, you know, when you see those? They're just covered head. But yours are flies. You're just on stage doing your gear. Everyone's like, what the fuck happened here? He got fly hungry. He went crazy for the fly.
All my bits are about like the tiny differences between like the seven flies in my show. No one can see the difference. I'm like so deep in the fly world.
Has the fly been staying till the very end of the performance?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's back and forth.
Back and forth, get out in the audience, see how they're doing.
By the end, I've stopped referencing the fly, but the fly is still around and still up on stage with me.
I haven't seen your show, but is there ever a few moments where you kind of, often towards the end of a comedy show, like there's, you use like, you might go a bit slower or there's a bit of silence to lead to a bigger
100%. I tell a longer story. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So is there that moment
Not only are there less laughs as you're telling the longer story because it's, you know, more details are necessary to set it up. It's key, I think, during that period that you are listening to all the details so you understand the story. And that is the story where the fly becomes most obvious, I guess.
When it's doing some of its best work.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, and also it would make it difficult to address the fly because then you kind of distract the audience from the details of the story.
I do like it as a show idea. The comedian has a show prepared.
Yes.
But a fly derails the whole thing and you slowly lose your mind.
Yes.
About the, like, it's kind of like a performance art show about something going poorly and it's the fly. Because
you
it would
need
be
like a camera on the, like, from the fly's perspective.
Yeah, there's no GoPro small enough. I know it's a big fly.
But you could film it before or something. Like, that would be a good, like, half the show's as the fly and half the show's from your perspective or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's more deep than mine. Mine was just purely a person losing their mind about a fly.
Well, my show is kind of already become a bit that. You're discovering my show.
Unintentionally. It'd be great to get reviewed and the fly gets mentioned. Oh, I mean, the fly's already got a big head. But my lord, imagine if the fly got on The Age.
Imagine if The Age gives me
in a Fairfax paper.
They give Tom Cashman 3 stars, The Fly 4.
Cashman's joke lacked class and quality, but The Fly.
Fly did, mainly focused on mime, didn't say anything to offend
comedy
me.
Comedy
so
is
quite
sometimes
like
about the words not said. And this is where The Fly really flew into some good areas.
Can I tell you another thing that happened to me yesterday?
Yes.
I got a haircut yesterday.
Yeah, I noticed.
Thank you.
Yeah, it looks good.
Thanks. I said thank you before you said it looked good. I hate that.
What? Well,
you know when you say the thanks, but no compliments happened yet?
Yeah, I was going to. Actually, I don't think I was going to compliment it.
Yeah.
But it's not because it doesn't look good. It looks good, but it's just like the normal haircut you'd get.
My problem is when they ask you how much you want off the top, because I get shaved on the sides, and then they ask you how much you want off the top, and then I always go like, you know, I'd put my fingers together and like about a centimeter.
Yeah.
But I've found then hairdressers, they put the hair between two fingers.
That means nothing, hey, when they
And then
do
they
that.
Cut off a centimeter, but then they grab a different clump of hair and then they cut off a centimeter again. And there's some of the same hairs from the first clump are in that second clump.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
It looks very similar.
And so I don't trust them. That they always do more than you say, basically. So I'm not responsible for how.
I maintain no one can actually cut a man's head properly.
I asked one time recently, how do you know that the no hairs from the first clump are in the second clump? And he had nothing. He became defensive very quickly.
Really?
And we kind of got into an argument.
Huh.
I think he was kind of new and nervous. I think it was a bad person to choose to ask a question like that because he wasn't ready to explain. But
I had a Chilean guy cut my hair a few months ago and it was his first day. He said it was his first haircut in Australia.
Why would they tell you that?
I was like, don't tell me that. And what? I was like, he's like, don't worry, I cut hair in Chile.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but
okay.
I mean, I don't know. I still don't know your back catalogue.
And like, I don't know Chilean kind of style. Like, is it?
Dude, it's South American.
Crossover?
It's like different stuff.
Yeah.
They're slicker kind of operators than us. They like different style. They would love a slick back look, harsh fade maybe.
Yes.
It's not what I do.
Yeah. I got So I got spun. So I'm sitting there yesterday. Mm. I'm facing the mirror. The barber is on my left, shaving the left side of my head.
What number?
3.
That's pretty low. Is 3, it? Yeah.
He's doing that.
Yeah.
Gets done. Usually what would happen is that he then walks around to the right side of my head and does the right?
Yeah.
In this case, no. He wants to stay there. He spins me.
I thought you were saying spun as in like spun for a right. Like he's physically spun.
I'm on a spinny chair. He spins me 180 degrees. So now I'm facing away from the mirror.
Away from the mirror. That's how they get you.
I'm standing.
That's crazy.
I'm staring at the people in the waiting room.
The mirror is for you.
And the mirror, yeah, now I have no oversight of what's happening. And he's doing my other side while I face directly opposite the mirror. And I can't see what he's doing.
Oh.
Has that ever happened to you? It was emasculating to be spun in the first place.
He just spun me.
Like, woof. Like
no, he didn't say we're about to go for a ride.
No. He just spun me.
What? That's
and now I'm making eye contact with 4 12-year-old boys.
And also you're feeling like a 12-year-old boy.
Well, exactly.
It's like all of a sudden you're back in that position of when you get taken to get your hair cut and it's like your mum's watching.
Exactly.
And it's like you probably get a lollipop. Did you get a lollipop?
I didn't get a lollipop even. I'm in the worst of both worlds here. I'm still getting spun, but I'm not getting any fucking lollipops.
No little sugar treat. Wow. So then you
Then he does that.
Yeah.
Then he spins me again, 90 degrees back. So now I'm at a right angle with the mirror, or like parallel with the mirror, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm looking directly. He's doing the back of my head.
Yeah.
While I look directly at the guy sitting next to me, getting his haircut next to me, who's very close.
What the fuck is this?
And he's kind of looks at me a few times because I'm just like staring at him. Again, you don't really have oversight then ever because it's the back. So like even if I was looking at the mirror, I wouldn't be able to see what the barber was doing. But I think you can still get a vibe of like, I guess, monitoring the emotions of the barber. Like, is he grimacing, looking at my neck mole?
Yeah.
Like what not kind
even
of reaction?
Neck, or like looking at them, looking at their work.
Exactly.
Is he concentrating even? Like to me, the mirror is there for such, like, yeah, for them to have a look, but also for you to have a look.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never done it because I mean, I'm sure you have. You've probably have a bit more gumption than I do. Often I'll tell them what I want. And then if it's not that, I just push through.
I would rarely say anything and that they're butchering you. Sometimes I'll be like, you got to, let's stop there.
Yeah.
No more. But
you go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, a bit of that.
Yeah, I just walk out and I'm just like, oh, what happened in there?
Well, the thing
I'm
is,
on edge.
Does...
I'm never comfortable.
Neither.
I'm like trying to do my best conversation gear.
The worst is
you're
distracting
even
them.
When they don't talk. I've had them just not talk. And then it's like, who is this fucking
That's
person?
What happened. I didn't say a word to this guy who spun me.
He's...
0 words spoken. 3 spins. The chat to spin ratio was off the charts.
0 words, 3 spins.
Uh-huh.
That's outrageous. 3 spins is outrageous.
You've never had that?
I've probably had the same amount of haircuts in my life as you, I reckon. Never been spun.
You've never been spun.
I didn't even know the chairs spun.
You get a sense that they spin. Come on.
No, I mean, I feel like that you can adjust. They're very adjustable.
Yeah, totally.
I didn't know they could do a 360.
They're up and down. They're 360.
Really?
I reckon all of them.
For what other reason? I guess maybe, is it normal to spin then? Why would they make the chairs spin if it's not normal to spin?
I reckon maybe women are spinning. I think women have, if they're there for longer, they have less oversight because there's silver stuff on their head and stuff. You know, things like that are going on.
Dude, what's in the silver stuff?
I think that's colouring.
I would love to get the silver
but
stuff.
I don't They're think they have the same level of... Yeah, exactly. I don't think they have the same level of oversight. And then sometimes they are spinning around to chat. I think it's quite social, the spin. I just feel like I need to be in control of it, or at the very least a warning, because it made me feel small.
Yeah.
I will say...
Where'd you go? A proper barber?
I went to a place
Fancy
called...
Fancy barber?
Cutthroat Barbers, which is always good a barber after your worst fear of what could occur there.
Cutthroat. And wasn't that a big thing? Barbers used to cut throats, didn't they? Like, that's how they would murder some people.
You know, they'd sometimes shave you, and then but they're so close to being able to cut your throat.
I've had a guy do that to me. Old school razor. Terrifying. That's when you need them. You need the mirror. That's probably why they put the mirror in.
When he's doing your Adam's apple, I kept swallowing because I knew that I shouldn't swallow. You know what I mean? Because it moves your Adam's apple.
That's scary.
He would be like, oop. And I asked him, does that happen a lot? Like people swallow more when they kind of shouldn't? And he's like, yeah.
It's a thing. What is the Adam's apple? I looked at mine the other day because I feel like sometimes I don't have a pronounced one.
Oh, you don't think you're worried about your Adam's apple self-consciousness.
I actually am sometimes. I think it's like my neck is so normal and then this freakish Adam's apple.
It's good. Don't you think it's masculine?
The Adam's apple?
Mm.
No.
I mean, by definition.
No one has ever
complimented it.
I don't think anyone... And yeah, obviously I don't understand the full spectrum of sexuality. I don't think anyone's looking to the Adam's apple.
I think it's playing a part.
You reckon?
Yeah.
To me, it's like a real big nose. If, like, yeah. It's like some people maybe like a big nose.
Yeah.
Maybe they like an Adam's apple.
I reckon
we could get rid of it tomorrow.
It's more pronounced if you look up. So it's more pronounced if you're like, like reaching up and doing something physical. So it's part of like a masculine action.
And does it lead to the voice being lower?
No idea. You know what I found out recently though?
Yeah.
You know, testy pops?
Yeah.
Yodeling can be good to decrease the likelihood of testy pops in adolescence, which I loved that because...
Learning that in your 30s is...
Well, I'd love the idea of a teen learning to yodel to reduce testy pops to be cooler at school so they're less embarrassing.
I'm not going to get bullied now because...
Yodeling.
That should do it.
Yodeling. What's going on in there, Billy? Why are you singing so many ridiculous tunes?
I'm safe-proofing my future, okay? Lunchtime is going to be great.
I'm going to get a girlfriend because my voice is going to be extremely consistent due to my yodeling.
Why yodeling specifically? Just the way
I think it just works out the back of your throat or whatever.
I saw some people yodel at a country music festival.
When you were young?
When I was young.
Wow.
And it's like, it's not natural. And I think as a child, you're exposed to music and a lot of stuff does make sense. Like, you know, just it sounds pleasant. Mm. Yodeling was something I could never get my head around.
I do think things like yodeling, they make you think, wow, we have so many different cultures in the world and all different communities of people have decided to spend their time doing different stuff. But it's really, it's pre-iPhone stuff, I would say, the yodel. It's people that were bored in a kind of old society for generations and generations to the extent that they really started mucking around with their voice in a very bored way. But like post Snake 2 as a game, I reckon, or any sort of console, just the yodeling is going to stop. Die. Like it's all about playing Call of Duty now, surely.
Yeah, and it's like AI will just make music now for you.
That should relax you, everyone. Don't worry about yodeling anymore. If you're like looking at your life, you're about to turn a certain age, you're worried you're not doing enough, don't feel like you got to yodel.
You don't have AI to yodel. You don't have to yodel.
If to the extent that you want to listen to yodeling music, which is probably a low extent,
it would be
AI can AI yodel?
It could do it, for sure. It can do everything. Like the speed in which it can produce a song.
Stand-up comedians are talking about, like everyone is having conversations about AI these days, will your job be replaced, blah, blah, blah. Stand-up comedians are across the board pretty cocky about the AI's lack of ability to...
I can't believe how cocky everyone is.
It's like it could never be able to do what we do.
It could never interact with the audience. It could never... It's like...
Do you reckon the yodeling community would be having a similar thing? It's like we're actually one of the most immune types of singing because we're up and down in a very unpredictable way.
No, it's all that confidence from not having testy pops in high school.
Also, the olehi hu, is that the... That's the most famous yodel for sure. That's the only one that
That's the only one I know. Yeah. And it's probably not right, if I'm honest.
Wonder who came up with that one. Probably the best yodeler.
Mm.
It was all... And someone's like, yodeler. And everyone's like, oh my fucking... That's bars, bro.
Just getting groupies at the yodeling gig. I've never heard anyone go... Come back to my hotel.
Oh my God, it's that yodeler guy.
What a thing to be known for, because it's so easy to do.
It's pretty.
Like, it's like if you listen to Beyonce, Whitney Houston, it's like you can't sing like that.
No,
but everyone can go, yodeler.
To be fair, I think what is yodeling? Like it's a bit more in the throat or something, isn't it?
And I'm not sure, but everything we're saying could be incredibly culturally disrespectful.
Oh, right, you think now. Yodeling is related to a particular culture that it's disrespectful to
potentially
dismiss.
Let me look it up.
Yeah. I associate it with like Tibetans or something.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's why I feel this.
Yes, but it's still silly to yodel though, come on.
Yodeling is a form of singing which involves repeated and rapid changes of pitch between low-pitched chest register and high-pitched head register.
It's
we've nailed that part.
Yeah. So it's falsetto down to normal heaps.
Exactly, yeah. From a German word.
There we go.
Yodeln.
Germans, we can get them.
Oh, wow, it's from like Switzerland, Austria, Southern Germany.
There we go, we're fine.
And then popped in the minstrel yodeling community in the United States in the early 19th century.
What's the...
Nah, we're fine.
What's the most famous tune in the world?
The most famous song?
Tune.
Oh.
Tune. So it could be a whole song, but I'm thinking just the chorus of a song, I guess, or like Happy Birthday's up there.
Well, Happy Birthday, the melody is so famous because I... I don't know if this is ignorance, but in... I've been to Jules's family's birthday things.
Yes.
And happy birthday, Feliz cumpleaños, is still the same melody as happy birthday.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah.
You know how we shot up a thing into space with like some of the best records? I think in the 80s, and they picked like the best songs that were kind of representative of the human achievement. And there was like some classical music. I think there was Elvis, stuff like that. Happy birthday should be the only song on that USB.
This is our best.
That's the most famous thing. That's the thing that resonated the most. So then aliens truly understand what the human race really liked and valued. Plus, imagine if you're an alien and you got that and it happened to be the alien's birthday.
Yeah.
They would be stoked with that. To just find a USB and then just randomly like, in space and then be like,
we love humanity.
This humanity is good. It's like, you remember.
We didn't have a song for it in my world. This is beautiful.
This
what
is
beautiful
so lovely.
People.
We could exterminate your entire
but we're
like
not.
Human race here.
Where can I have a party?
Throw a party. Yeah.
We're having a party.
Happy birthday, baby.
I've been watching heaps of like space documentaries as I fall asleep.
Okay.
And
that's fun.
Yeah, like I'm really into it at the moment.
Mm.
Mainly because I'm interested in where we go from planet Earth.
Yes.
You know, like where's the next planet we colonize?
You think we're going to leave?
I think we've got to leave.
We've got to leave in the next, what, 5,000?
Well, I think that's what they want to get it going.
Yeah.
Like I reckon...
The sun's going to get too big.
Sun's going to get too big and there's like odds on that a meteor's just going to wipe us out.
Yeah, okay.
So there's four reasons apparently for why we haven't found life.
Okay.
Outside of Earth, right?
Mm.
Number one... There's no life except us, which is pretty sad, if so. Mm-hmm. Number two, life exists, but they're hiding from us. But apparently that's like a crazy, everyone be like, why would they hide from us?
That would be, why wouldn't they hide? I'd hide.
Would you hide?
That's funny. Let's just spy.
Well, so apparently they've sent those things that are out there, have surveyed a fair bit of what's going on out there and yet to see any.
Yep.
Like, and if they're out there and they're hiding from our little thing.
Yes.
We've sent messages. Number three is there's life, but it's so far away.
And so it's not hiding, but it doesn't know about us.
Doesn't know about
us. And it's just so far away, yeah.
And that leads into number four, which is just that we could be just the most advanced species and planet so far.
Yes.
And that there is life, but it's we're so far advanced and we're the ones that are, you know.
We're first.
We're doing it all, yeah. My favorite would be... Yeah, I guess that they're hiding because that
hiding is cute.
Because that would mean that everyone's really nice out there.
Yeah,
and they're just waiting for us.
And they're being respectful.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like not
that's what kind of that's similar to a god. Aliens who are hiding is similar to God.
Yeah, and
it's just like an all-knowing and more intelligent
and must be
entity.
Good at hiding.
Yeah, totally.
Like you'd love to hear how
why
they
couldn't
did
they be
it.
Really small? What if the aliens are just really small and they're around?
You think?
Or really
in
big.
In my head, they're massive.
Yeah, they got to be bigger,
like,
I guess.
Like fucking huge. Because we're getting bigger.
I think
that would
we're
be
too,
like, that'd be triple us.
I think we're too, we just look for ourselves and others. And I think if it's from a completely different, I suppose it's still the same physics of the same universe. But like, why couldn't they be all like liquid or something?
I know, it won't happen.
Yeah, you don't
They'll
think,
look like us.
You think?
Not completely like us.
I suppose the ones we care about most would look like us because they're most likely to be similar to us and us to have communications with them. Like algae, for example, is life. There's probably, there might be algae somewhere, but we don't really care about algae.
Yeah.
Even like, if it's really smart algae, we're like,
pfft. We're so much more advanced in algae, but maybe in a billion years, algae. Poor.
But algae, what,
the algae
like,
is doing
we say
great.
Advanced because we've got more cars. But what if the algae is like 100 times better smell and really in touch with sniffing certain fumes and really close to their version of spirituality within the algae in a way we can never understand?
Yeah,
like that is their level of advanced. You know,
yeah,
like it's all subjective.
Yeah, but a flying car,
it's just better. Yeah. I mean, we're driving around. Your algae is stuck in a puddle.
You're in a puddle.
At the end of the
algae.
Day, you're a fucking puddle, mate.
You're a puddle.
You algae prick.
Yeah. I mean, even not to go back to your fly.
Yep.
But the way a fly eats, it like vomits onto the thing, coats it in something that makes it like protective so it doesn't like ever infect them or kill them and then eats that thing covered in the vomit back up.
Pretty
like
good
that's
system.
Pretty good and advanced.
Yeah.
So it'd be like you would never have to worry about taking hand sanitizer.
Mm.
No, don't worry about OH&S things that are
you
just,
so
you vomit
just
on it.
To Macca's, you then, order your meal, you vomit all over the table and all over it and then it's all covered in that and then that's
and then
just
you,
clean.
That's clean and you eat it.
Wow. I'll suppose I'll take note of that. I'll take it on board as an option. I would rather hand sanitizer currently. I think I'm more kind of comfortable with my current approach.
I like hand sanitizer.
I think flies have already in my life been trying to take over like quite a large proportion of what I do as a human being.
Of course, you're too close to it.
If I start becoming too much like a fly, people are not going to know where the fly begins and where the human ends.
You could do your show in a fly costume next year. Or tonight, even.
Knowing my life, next year my show will be called The Fly, and then not one fly will come into the
I like the name. Run. The Fly is a good name for
the fly,
a show.
And I've got big fly glasses.
Yeah. And you just tell the story of two nights when you were a tiny bit upset.
No. First night, I was a bit annoyed. Second night, I embraced the fly. That was my lesson in that it's all about perspective.
If the fly's not there tonight?
I think I will be. I think if the fly's not there tonight, I'm going to shout out the fly anyway. RIP to my boy.
What up, fly?
Exactly.
I hope there's a fly in my show. I just want some spice. There's nothing. Yes. No one's even like dropped a drink in my show.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's been so just mild.
I should have, if only I'd known this on Wednesday, I would have been like, I wouldn't have taken the fly for granted. Other people would kill for the fly.
Like, I remember one year at Melbourne, two guys got in a fight during my show. Yeah. That was so exciting.
Oh, that happened to me last night. A guy and a girl were fighting.
And the fly is so big a thing that you didn't even mention that a couple got in a fight.
Well, they were whispering for like 20 minutes and I could hear them. They were over on the right. I was ignoring it. But then there were a few bits when it was like, you know, you're telling a longer story and you can hear them whispering over there. And eventually I was emboldened by my riffing with the fly. I'm like, guys, what's going on over there? And he's like, it's complicated, like real serious.
Oh,
and And everyone's like, ooh.
Really?
And I'm like, guys, what's going on? And he's like, oh, do you want us to get into it? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, I don't want
to
talk about
it. Who are these people? Can you imagine saying that publicly with your partner?
Oh, I know.
It's complicated. Do you want us to get into it? Yeah. What the fuck?
He's like, we can just be quiet. And I'm like, no, we're all curious now, like, what's going on? And he goes, okay, I'll tell you, I mean... She pinched my nipple way too hard.
Oh, that's funny.
And then I'm like, oh, I thought it was going to be all serious. But yeah. I was asking her.
Did that get a laugh?
Yeah, totally. But then people were curious more.
Yeah.
I was like to her, why did you pinch his nipple? What had he done to deserve that? And she wasn't being very forthcoming. In fact, I referred to her as not being very forthcoming and she kind of like attacked me back. She's like, you can't say that. I'm like,
what?
I don't think she knew what forthcoming meant because she just, in fact, wasn't being very forthcoming. It's not like an insult.
Yeah, not at all. It's just you're observing a situation.
Exactly.
The way she's responding.
And then he said I wasn't funny or something. Like
He said you weren't funny.
Yeah, they were lashing it. This is like 40 minutes into the, I think they were feeling defensive at this stage.
No wonder you love the fly. You were like, where's that fly? Can we get back into the fly?
Yeah, all the humans were being really mean to me. So my estimations of the fly.
My only friend is the fly. The fly is forthcoming. That's right. The fly. Flies straight up to me.
The fly is my friend. But then, I suppose I just kind of moved on. And then, someone messaged me that they saw them afterwards.
Yeah.
Hugging and stuff. And they actually hear our arm around her after with that. So I'm like, oh, they're kind of getting back together. They're not fighting too hard. But then afterwards, someone messaged me saying that they saw them kind of saying goodbye after the show as if they were not going to see each other again for a while.
Oh.
Then saw them in another pub.
Oh.
Introducing themselves as if they'd never met. What? So I think they were on some weird sex-like thing where they're kind of acting like they don't know each other and pinching
having
and stuff. So I think it was all like a joke. Like I feel like they weren't actually fighting and they were flirting because they were pretty drunk, obviously. I think that it was all part of like a sex thing.
So were audience members reporting this back to you?
Someone messaged me, yeah.
Because
it was like a 5-minute thing about this couple and the pinching and why it's a pinching and like it was very curious. Inducing, and then I had a report.
I kind of like this now.
It was fun.
I think that would be fun.
It was fun.
Should this end?
Yeah, probably.